Republicans are saying after the minute if she is elected, they'll be investigating her and they're talking about possible impeachment.
Yeah, well, they're always going to behave like Republicans. You know, the thing is, the difference between her and Obama, she's not going to go up there and hold hands with them. She's not going to go sing Kumbaya. She's not going to try to find the great compromise. You know, she's like, she is a woman of my generation. I mean, I'm in the second half of the baby boom. She's in the first half. And, you know, I don't know where you fall. You're way too young to be in any baby boom. But I'm just saying, if you know or you have friends that grew up in this era, she knows what she's been through as a woman in this society. She has not forgotten this. And I can't see her signing a single piece of legislation that's going to say we, the government, have control over your reproductive organs, you know, or something that's going to hurt children or something. So I think these are, you know, we need Glenn. We need The Intercept. We need you. I should keep making movies. You know, all of us are going to have to do our thing.
Except you say that you may well be what, running in 2020?
If I will offer myself up. If she goes back on what she says she's going to do, if she doesn't adopt the 2/3 of Bernie's positions that she said she's going to do, then either I or Kanye will run in 2020.
Academy Award-winning filmmaker Michael Moore, his new film, Michael Moore in Trumpland. It's playing in theaters now. It's also available on iTunes and Amazon. That does it for the show. A very happy birthday to Andre Lewis. It's the big one. Happy birthday, number 30.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 8 a.m. Up next, Positively Revolting.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor for the Real Cool film series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month, The Jazz Loft, according to W. Eugene Smith, showing Friday, November 4th at 7 p.m. In the 1950s, dozens of jazz musicians jam night after night in New York loft buildings, including Thelonious Monk and Ronnie Free, not realizing they are being captured in sound and picture by Life magazine photographer W. Eugene Smith, who lives in the loft space next door. Again, that's The Jazz Loft, according to W. Eugene Smith, showing Friday, November 4th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Chuck Collins, speaking Tuesday, November 15th, 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church, Elliott Chapel in Portland. Chuck Collins is the author of Born on Third Base. A one-percenter makes the case for tackling inequality, bringing wealth home, and committing to the common good. He'll be talking about the People's Movement of disadvantaged communities and communities of color's need to engage with the 1% community and the 1%'s need to step up and get involved. Again, that's Chuck Collins, speaking Tuesday, November 15th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church, Elliott Chapel, at 1211 Southwest Main Street here in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
Comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning into KBOO and turning into Positively Revolting Talk Radio. This is Linda Olson Osterlin. You're used to listening to Lynn and Ani. They're both taking a break right now. I'll be with you this week and next week as well. And thank you so much for tuning in. Now, we're opening the phone lines right now. The number is 503. I'm going to say the right and wrong number for a minute there. 503-231-8187. And call in and let us know your opinion on the elections. Today, I chose not to have an outside speaker or expert come on the show. I chose not to even write up a narrative from me. What I want to do is turn it over to you out there in audience land, listener land. I want to hear what you have to say about elections. And it can be any of the elections that are going on, local, very local, local, state, national, and any candidate that you want to talk about, or just the whole topic of should we even spend this much time talking about elections. I know I'm getting tired of them myself, and that's part of why I decided to do this. It's only a few days away, and I think not everybody has had themselves heard. There might be points of view on measures that you have not had. You haven't heard somebody out there saying what you think is really important. So take the moment right now and say what you think is really important. I'm turning this over to you. We will give everybody about 2 to 3 minutes. You know, it'll depend on the volume of callers, but if you keep calling, it'll be about 2 minutes. And I just want to hear from you about the whole process and any aspect of it you want to talk about. We only have a few days left. Is there some way that you want to influence people for one of the measures or against one of the candidates or even against voting or for voting? We're open. It's 503-231-8187. That's the number to call. And so we'll be looking forward to hearing from you. You know, I was going through, I don't think we have anybody on the line yet, but we will. I was going through the voters pamphlet this morning, and I have not yet voted. We're vote by mail here. Many of you may have already voted, but I like to wait until I'm a little bit older. I'm in that baby boomer age, and I like to go in with my ballot. So I still drive over to 10th and Morrison and hand my ballot to someone. And I just enjoy doing it that way. So I'm going to do it that way again this year. And, you know, there's so many different measures on it that once I started really looking through it, I thought I better dig into them more. And I did for some and not for others. How do you approach it when you have a voter's pamphlet like this that has so many issues you really haven't heard about or has so many candidates you really don't know about, say, for judgeships or something like that? I try to, you know, save those voter guides that come in from organizations that I support and look through what they're saying. If I haven't heard them on KBOO, we do a good coverage of the measures and of the candidates, trying to get them here for you to be able to hear and to engage with. Not always so successful. One of the things that I was really pleased to notice as I went through the voter's guide was that there are so many candidates from other parties, from the Green Party, from the Progressive Party, from the Working Families Party. I wanted, it really would just surprise me. I hadn't realized how broadly they were out there getting candidates out to get their party's point of view to us. I certainly haven't heard much of it in any other media. I do believe we've got people online. Let's start. The first is Paul. Thanks for calling in. Are you there? For some reason, I'm not hearing anything. I'm thinking you're probably not hearing anything. We're working on this technically. We will get to you. We do have the bases loaded. So, hi, Paul, are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, there you are.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can now. Thank you.
Okay, great. Well, I'm interested in the city council race, Commissioner number 4.
Who is? Always say a name. Who are the candidates?
Chloe Udaly and a scab-mongering snake in the grass. I can't remember his name. I wouldn't repeat it if I could.
Uh-huh.
The scab-mongering snake in the grass incumbent that she is running against has done a real bad job as of late. He got in there and he sounded good. And like many politicians, they sound real good when they're running. And then when they get in, they do a terrible job. But Chloe knows what it's like to be a renter in this town. And she's really kind of hit her stride in the last couple of months of the campaign. She's not a professional politician. She's not a professional political. So it took her a little bit longer to get her feet under her in this race. But, you know, she's gotten herself together. The Willamette Week switched her choice and decided that, yes, This is the person we need to elect. This is the fresh voice speaking for the little people that we need on city council that's been denied for a long time. So I'm voting for Chloe Udalate for city council.
Well, thank you so much for calling in with that. We have anybody else on the line? Leslie, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, Hi. Can you hear me?
Good morning. Yes, there's a glorious morning dawning out there, if you haven't had a chance to see it, by the way.
Oh, it's kind of foggy where I am. I voted for Chloe Udalate, and I would really like to beg people to, as much as possible, vote green. I voted a green Jill Stein presidential. And also, really take a good, hard look at Ron Wyden. Ignore the commercials. Read what he's up to. He has been a hardcore backer of TPP, one of the top proponents.
Of the what? I couldn't quite hear what you said. He's one of the top proponents of?
Trans-Pacific Partnership.
All right. Yes, thanks for saying that.
He's a strong, one of the foremost backers of Trans-Pacific Partnership. So because of that, I chose the green candidate in opposition to Ron Wyden. Think long and hard before voting for Ron Wyden. Choose the Green Party.
All right. Thank you so much for that point of view. I really do appreciate it. And now we have Jack on the line.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on the process. The election cycle is the biggest moneymaker for the media of all. I think there's been some research on this. I've read about it that basically the mainstream media makes more money selling election advertising and running election polls than anything else they engage in. And they should be required to, in order to keep their licenses, they should be required to give free and equal time to all candidates and all issues.
I would certainly prefer that myself.
Absolutely. And we just take the money out of the system, make it illegal to donate any money, period, to any politician, period.
So there is a measure that we have here to change the elections, to have to be publicly funded.
Yeah, publicly funded. And they don't, if they got free air, if they got time on the airwaves and in the print media, if print media wants to retain their Fourth Estate privileges, they give free and equal time to all the candidates and all the issues, and use this as a civic duty. That if they want their licenses, if they want their Fourth Estate privilege, they do this as a civic duty, and they stop using it as a cash cow, and we move to this public system, and it wouldn't cost much at all to run these elections, and you cut the time down, and you just make it a real democratic system. This is what we've got is it's a Frankenstein monster.
I agree with you. So thank you very much. I appreciate you calling in and bringing up this point for us. And there is a measure on the ballot dealing with that, at least in local elections. So let's go on to the next caller. Sunny, thanks for calling in.
Good morning. I'm glad he called too, because actually the solution is easy, and oftentimes the solutions are easy. And, we could have an election network set up nationally where, this is just covered.
Well, it occurred to me if we had publicly funded elections for everything, including the measures, and did not allow outside advertising really at all of it, that would make a huge difference. And I'd very much be looking forward, to something like that happening. Do you know I have the booklet in front of me, but if I try to look through it right now, do you know the number of the measure about publicly funded elections here?
No.
I do think if we publicly funded them, even if we didn't make any rules about what media can do, that it would change the way everything about it. It would still allow the heavy, heavy, heavy advertising, I believe, of different measures. And I'm personally waiting to see if once again the big corporations will win with their heavy advertising on the 97 vote.
I think they are going to win, unfortunately.
Which is the... Oh, you really? You think they're going to win?
I think they could. I just kind of feel like they're... I think that there's a section of the election body that is still like, you know, that is still influenced. But, well,
of course, we know we're all... They wouldn't pay for advertising if it didn't affect us. It definitely does affect us.
Yeah,
yeah I've been disappointed in the past going back to when closing down Trojan or other... measures that have come through last year, the last time was the GMO bill, where outside corporate dollars have completely flipped around the way that the public feels, at least according to polling. And we end up with something that may not benefit Oregon at all, but does benefit big companies. Well, thanks for calling in, Sunny.
I was going to say something.
Oh, yeah. Good. Let's get
Money talks, but I'm certainly glad to hear what you say. And I do think if we had a national election network that did nothing but handle elections, you know, localized for each section of the country, that would be well worth the money. And if you got together a certain number of people to sign your petition or whatever, then you would qualify for entry into the network process, blah, 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 whatever. But what I was going to say is what I've seen showing up in some of the election commercials is very disturbing. Some of the women that are portrayed in the negative campaign format, it has almost a racial aspect. They're put into black and white, and the people that are supposed to pay attention and not vote for that woman are put into color. And then the way it's darkened around their presentation, it's like, ooh, look at their color, too. Look at their color. And I don't see that completely across the board to where we could say it's a consistent manifestation of pay attention, most of all, to these women, their gender and their color, but there's an insinuation into that area. But the thing about it is the church that was just burnt down, a historic black church, and it says on the side, vote Trump. And when you also hear some of the remarks, spoken remarks that Trump has made, the ones that have maybe recently surfaced, not only does he say vicious things about women and comment on their looks and et cetera, and his more overt sexual statements, the one I heard played on Ground Zero last night, which is a local radio show that goes national, and Clyde James does a really good job when he talks freedom. He says about putting it like he came up on a woman, like, unfortunately, what happens to men in prisons. Like,
Sunny, wait,
let me finish.
On.
This is important, though. The reason I'm bringing it up is because it all comes down to, this whole thing's going to come down to, are you a bully? Whether you vote Hillary or not, the country is facing some real problems, and we are either bullies or we are together.
Well, I appreciate your point of view very much, Sunny. Thanks for that. I want to remind you that the FCC governs our ability to be on air and that no swear language of any sort, no reference to bodily parts in any, you know, kind of slang way. So just want to remind all you listeners that we get heated up and we really care about these issues, but we can't use that language on air. It endangers our license. So thank you for not swearing, and thank you for being out there, the audience you are. It's the number to call is 503-231-8187. Do we have another caller? Janet is on the line. I'm not hearing Janet. I'm wondering if we're having technical
difficulties.
Oh, there. Hello. I'm speaking to who?
My name is Harry.
All right, Harry. Thanks.
And thank you for taking my call. Yes, this election season, I mean, China has a one-party system. We have a two-party system. And everybody in this country are upset about the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, and our government. And so that's why we had protest candidates for the presidential contest. And but there is a way that we can make our vote count more. And that is, we don't have to join with Republicans or Democrats. They don't have to join together. We have it's in the voting process. And that, and what should be done is do not vote for incumbents at all, period. There's a reason why. First is...
Yeah, explain that.
Well, yeah. Okay, first, the last Speaker of the House, Boehnert, right, he quit in 25 years. I says, why did he quit in 25 years instead of 26? Because there's two-year increments between elections.
Mm-hmm.
Why he did that was so the Republican governor can appoint his replacement, which will be a Republican, and he'll be an incumbent, and the incumbents have an 80% chance of winning.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's one reason. Second reason, as for our state, I mean, look at our governor's race. Even though Kate Brown is still considered incumbent, why we should vote for someone who's not an incumbent in that race is because the here in Oregon, we have no process of removing the governor. We cannot impeach our governor. Kitzhaber could still be there running the government from a jail cell. So...
I hadn't realized that, so that's why the pressure for him to officially resign as opposed to, or one of the reasons.
Yeah, and so he didn't really have to. You know, all you had to do was just duck and, you know, any other charges, and he didn't have to. Another reason is a lot of the Congress and senators, well, they're millionaires. And they have money, now they want power, and they can stay in the position and do what they want, and the only way to get rid of them is do not vote for incumbents. That is for federal elections, state elections, and local elections. And we can clean out both parties and the government if we do that.
Well, Harry, thank you for that point of view. That's an interesting point of view. I can think of one reason not to for myself, especially in local areas, which is that I know from experience that someone having a depth of expertise in doing their job, even if that job is part of the government, makes a huge difference in how well life runs in those situations. So if you have a candidate in there that you feel is doing a good job, my tendency would be to want to be able to keep them in. But I know there's some term limit measures somewhere in this book, and anybody else who would like to call in about that, I appreciate. And the idea that we would just get rid of all incumbents right now, it might clean it out for us. Okay, now we have Deanna on the line.
Good morning. Thank you for doing this show. It's a very interesting and great chance to hear what everyone else is thinking.
Yeah.
I want to bring up the point that we need to pay a lot more attention to local politics. And by that I mean we need to know that everybody was at City Hall yesterday who was there to talk about open and affordable elections and to find out why there weren't thousands standing outside and trying to get into City Hall chambers. Okay, here's one more thing about that. I listened carefully. I thought I knew something about it, and I'm still wondering about that. It doesn't have to do specifically with the things about the airwaves that the caller suggested, which is absolutely right on. Of course, they should not make any money off of this, the television, the media. But my point is this. Those open and affordable elections that we were there to speak up for are voluntary. So while it might be a step in the right direction for people who have not had a voice, which is, you know, 99% of us in these elections because we can't get together the money and don't have connections to people with deep, deep pockets, because we have a chance now with matching funds through the government to have some level of competition. I'm still wondering why this is a voluntary thing. And my guess, it's not an educated guess, is that because it would never pass if it were not voluntary. What it means is that if you're going to run for public office, that you can decide to accept public funding.
Yes, you know, I will tell one personal anecdote about in 2000, I was the treasurer for a campaign of a woman named Gloria Harris, who African-American woman who ran on a back to basics campaign, and she was opposing Francisconi and some other candidates at the time. She set out right from the beginning to say that she wouldn't accept any donations over $1,000. She did have a couple people who would have helped underwrite her significantly, but she never wanted that. And so I think in the end we raised somewhere around $5,000, but she got 20% of the vote. Now that's very significant. Part of that was because Francisconi was a very unpopular candidate. He thought he would kind of breeze in because he had done these jobs before, but people hadn't liked him, so he didn't stay around. But it's a heart, you know, and it was amazing to learn all of the intricacy of trying to run even a small campaign like hers. It was very personal and small, and yet it still took so much. And, you know, if one of the newspapers like the Willamette Week or the Mercury made fun of you, that could just almost kill you. Or if they played you down, it had a big impact on a small campaign like that. I would prefer to see all campaigns not be allowed to get big in terms of money. Big in terms of their influence. If they have tons of people who support them, that's another thing. But
absolutely,
money is different than that.
Right. And can I just add one thing about this on sort of the same theme? I went around campaigning the other night over near Reed College, just so people know where I was, talking, you know, to people about Measure 97 and supporting it, of course. I was, frankly, shocked that anyone who is not in some way standing in line to make money off of a no on 97 would vote no. And all I can imagine is that the people who are ordinary people, who are not owners of those corporations, who make over $25 million in sales a year, must have been completely taken in, because how in the world could you vote against your own interests? This measure is to fund schools, health care for children, and seniors.
Okay, well,
who in the 99% is not going to ask corporations who make over $25 million to pay 2.5% tax on just that what's above $25 million. So they have done a great job.
They have, because what they've done is
lying to everybody. And people, shame on you if you've swallowed it.
Thank you for your passion about this. It's been driving me crazy hearing them advertise that this is a sales tax. They refer to it specifically as a sales tax, which it is most definitely is not. And they refer to it that way because Oregon has historically and probably would again oppose any sales tax.
Exactly. And people are not looking at all. They hear the word sales tax. Do they investigate what that means? Do they say to themselves, oh, is this a tax that's going to be passed on to me? It has been proven scientifically, statistically, whatever you want to call it, prices will not raise because these stores are
They have the same prices across
all
the nation.
Over the country. Yeah. That's right. Competition, they are only 400 out of 400,000 businesses that are large. These are only 400. They are a tiny fraction, and yet they would bring in by paying their quote-unquote fair share. Believe me, I don't think it's even close to their fair share. But anyway, that would bring in millions of dollars for the people and what we need. Anyway, thank you very much.
Yes, and thank you very much. Okay. And I appreciate your call and the points you're bringing up. Obviously, I share some of them. Let's go ahead to our next caller.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Is this Mike?
So, go KBOO. And really appreciate the opportunity to have this discussion.
Good.
As always. So Ralph Nader and Noam Chomsky and other leaders and rethinkers have made the argument pretty well that there is only one party and there's two wings of the major party that and they serve the same purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've heard them talk about that.
And that there, it seems to me, as a I consider myself an independently minded progressive. If I'm with other people that have a similar political ideology as mine, we all have our own priorities and ideas of what's most important. And if I was to start talking about my top priorities, we might agree on some. You might not care about others, that things that I care about. And it's really hard to get on the same page as a group. And then add to that, I think, even more important, because that's really obvious with the, I think that part of that is a function of a progressive or liberal mindset that we have so many interests. Whether that's true or not, there's another side which is independently minded conservatives who are not completely dissatisfied with their current options and with the state of the world, and we might share we can share or disagree on different priorities, different ideas about how to get things done. But I think a lot of us who consider ourselves independently minded would agree on one thing, which is get rid of the bums. And so
get rid of the bums, did you say?
Get rid of the corporate interests. I guess I wasn't choose my words a little
bit. No, it's okay. It was
better,
fine. But I just wasn't sure I heard you. Yeah.
I was talking about politicians.
Yes, in general.
About the politicians in power that are serving the corporate interests and are bought and sold and playing the game versus I think there's a general mindset, and Bernie certainly spoke to it, and Trump certainly speaks to it, even as crazy as he is, but the idea that the current system needs to be like, we need a reset button or something.
Or a giant vacuum cleaner I had in my mind.
right, but we can't all support, there was no dissatisfied Republicans or very few that would openly support Bernie Sanders. And I, for example, like Gary Johnson and Jill Stein are running for president as an opposition or as an alternative. Neither one of them has a chance of making any kind of an impact at this point. I think it's safe to say, as far as actually,
do you think Bernie's candidacy pulled some of that away? Like Bernie's candidacy grabbed everybody who would have gone for one of those parties, and as a result, when he got them all excited, and then basically it's been dumped, that they haven't managed to make their way over to Gary Johnson and Jill Stein.
Right, and personally, I'll just say this, and then let some other people get a chance. But personally, I would say I don't care who it be. If there's somebody that happens to be listening to this on and is getting ready to vote, I don't care where you are. If you're talking about local or if you're talking about national candidacies, look at the independents first. And if you're voting for the Constitution Party, which is, I believe, a hard right in Oregon, doesn't support anything that I support, but or I mean, their priorities, right. You know, I could have that wrong. So forgive me if I'm misstating things. Maybe somebody.
That's okay. But what you're wanting people to do.
Yeah, is look off ticket first, and you know, forget the Democrats as far as I'm concerned. But you know, I
hear what you're saying. You're wishing that we could find a candidate that where we have like minds from left or right, and that we could actually choose that would bring some of that together rather than be what we've got here.
Another idea.
I'm going to have to let you go, Mike. Thank you very much. All right. Thank you very much for calling in. That was Mike. I want to take a moment and tell you what's going to be on KBOO the rest of this morning. Coming up is at 9, it's Water World. We'll hear about water and politics. Pakistan from Fahim Zakhar Khan, the former mayor of Karachi. We have a local reporter here and engineer, Kristen Yount, who traveled to Pakistan. And this is one of her interviews. I'm very happy to have that coming on after me. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, news, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints host Dennis Bernstein speaks with author Christopher Simpson about the use of propaganda in the 2016 election cycle. That sounds pretty interesting. At 11, it's A Radio Geekly, interviews with Black Nerd Problems, Feminist Frequency, and Loan Shark Games. Plus, learn about the local charity, Pretty Awesome Gamers, and more. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you are not currently a member, I know you've heard us say this before, but you can become one really right now by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate. You'll find that right on our homepage. I want to thank you all for listening always, and that call-in number once again is 503-231-8187. Who do we have on the line now? Michael, thanks for calling in.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Linda. Yes, we are having a bit of a foggy morning here, but the sun is poking through.
So I saw pink out there when I went out just before the show.
Night, the sunset was so beautiful. So, yeah, and I guess the sunrise, I didn't see the sunrise this morning. I voted yesterday. I ran down to the Elections Commission to make sure my signature was okay, and it was okay and everything. And then I got Willamette Week, because that publication was mentioned earlier in the program. And it is a respected publication. The endorsements, I voted for a bond measure for the $259 million bond measure, and Willamette Week voted endorsed against it, so I wish I had.
Is that the bond measure for affordable housing?
Yes. So I wish I had more time to look into that. But there are so many topics to raise. I'm not going to actually talk about it because I'm not very well well read on the topic. But one thing that I have been thinking about was other nations have. Our office of the presidency is unitary in terms of the functions of state and the functions of government are wielded through one person, whereas other nations have a binary or for lack of a better word, system of government. So I was wondering.
I think that's important to bring up, and I do think that over the last many years, the president, certainly since George Bush, every president we've had has been increasing their independent action, treating the Congress as if it may not exist. And so really extending executive power with even where there's been reaction to it, there's been nothing done to impede that. So now we have a president who can decide that somebody, even an American citizen, anywhere in the world can be killed on his say-so.
That is that is the logical extension. There were executive orders that had placed bans on assassinating citizens or anybody else, but that those were repealed.
Well, and I think that they violate our rights to habeas corpus. I mean, any American citizen has the right to say, bring the proof,
yes,
take me to court.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Well, and thank you for calling, Michael. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, nice talking with you, Linda, and thank you, KBOO.
All right. We have somebody else online. George, thanks for calling in.
Good morning. I voted for the bond measure for affordable housing. That was one of the few things that I felt really good about doing. And the rest, I just heard your comment on presidents becoming more and more independent of Congress. And yes, this is happening. And that speaks to something that has been bothering me for weeks. And it got especially intense as I listened to Michael Moore advocate voting for Hillary on Democracy Now! This morning, where Amy Goodman
yes.
gave him the whole hour to explain why we have to work with Hillary. We have to have a big popular movement to, you know, push her, force her to do the right thing. And I thought, well, we don't seem to have had that kind of movement before. I don't see the signs that it's there now. And Michael Moore was saying, well, you know, if she doesn't do the right thing in the first, you know, 2 years, we'll put in other people in 2 years and then in 4 years. And I thought, well, what if she just declares a no-fly zone over Syria and maybe over Russia and gets us into a nuclear war the third week into office or the sixth week? Will there be anything left except, you know, ashes and a few survivors in the U.S. or Russia or Europe after a nuclear war? What the hell do we do?
Yes, and I think that's really one of the most important questions is how much power have we allowed and has been taken from us as people, where there are many actions that are being taken by our presidency and by the executive that are not matched by the American public. The American public has been polled and polled, say, about a woman's right to choose or about national health care. They pull us and pull us and pull us, and we keep saying in significant majority that we want, but that doesn't stop their efforts to change things or their efforts to do things. I think if people knew that you could just trade one drone strike and be able to pay for schools for a year in your city, I'd like to see people begin to think a little bit more along those lines.
I was going to ask you, can we develop a popular movement that's going to push a president in the next few days or weeks? And then even if we do develop a really big popular movement, Noam Chomsky, in his most recent book, you know, Who Rules the World, says, well, the record shows that the Congress and the executive branch, they don't pay much attention to us no matter what we do. And I'm saying, my God, well, I think I'm just going to leave this here and say, I don't know. It seems to me we don't have any alternative but to change the system. But do we have time to develop that movement? What the heck do we do? And so that's all I have to say.
All right.
And bless KBOO for being there for the planet.
Oh, well, thank you very much, and thanks for calling in. Who do we have online now? We have Cherie. Please join us, Cherie. Are you there?
Hello there.
Oh, good there morning. We have you.
This is Cherie speaking.
Hi.
Hi. I have a suggestion that might take some time, but might actually work well for educating the citizenry about how to interact with government in all kinds of ways. And that would be to reintroduce civics, the study of civics, as a core curriculum item in you know, elementary, middle school,
right.
High school. Then people would have the tools to know what it meant when someone said gerrymander, or how districts are apportioned, or how to contact your congressperson. You know, and this sort of thing would involve people doing volunteer projects as part of the core curriculum. And I think it would, if people start at a grassroots level like that, you'd have an educated population. You wouldn't have to worry about a lot of what's going on now.
Well, I think you're making a good point, and it's a good point of view. I would hope that if we would teach civics, we would teach, you know, not just how the system is structured and how it's supposed to work, but how it's actually been used and works, and, you know, have a lot of young people coming out with new ideas about how to do it different. That would be pretty exciting. I worry that anything that would get into the wide system wide would just be a heavier dose of propaganda about how it, you know, we still say we have a working democracy here. And I think in many ways that's just been false for a while.
It's possible. But you can't have a democracy without an educated public.
I agree with you completely about that, and I think that is entirely important. I really agree with you about that, and I also believe that it is our responsibility as a person on the planet, as a person living in this nation, to pay attention and to take action. I'm not necessarily going to advocate that people vote. I think there's some valid reasons to not vote. I know that causes a lot of controversy, but I do think that's possible to have a very principled position about not participating in the electional system. So I'm throwing that out there, too, for people to call in. So thank you very much for calling in, though. I agree. Civics back in school. And now we have online Steve. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, hi. Thanks, Linda. I'm enjoying your show, your style of the morning show. It's great. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks. Also, all politicians are pretty much the same. They say a lot of different things to their base to get elected that are, not very pleasant to the other side or whatever. But it seems like, as far as Trump, I don't see him any differently than Berlusconi in Italy, and it seems like Italy, there's a lot of gloom and or a lot of
Berlusconi with both money and girl scandals.
Yeah, and being obnoxious and a media celebrity kind of thing, and I see them very similarly. It seems like Italy survived, it didn't get any worse than it was already, but I don't know, or maybe I don't know.
it was often surprising why he kept getting elected or kept getting in positions. To me, it was, but
yeah, I guess like Trump, he puts on a good show, and people would rather watch that than the Trump show than for 4 years than a World War III miniseries, But as far as Hillary. And as also, too, between the two of them, I would rather have the real New Yorker, I guess, is my joke, comment, mm-hmm. is, if you're going to, pick the New Yorker, pick the real one, but and not the carpetbagger. But, as far as Hillary...
Ooh, carpetbagger.
Yeah, reverse carpetbagger.
I understand.
But as far as Hillary, my quote for her is, I don't think that the road to the Oval Office does not lead through the White House bedroom, and I think it would be the same if the roles were reversed and it was, Bill, riding, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a sex or female or thing or anything like that. It's just just something just wrong there in my mind, But I don't know. That's my opinion. But either way, one of them will be in or something. But as soon as 51% of the population would vote for a third party candidate, we would have a third party president or candidate or elected official.
And so you're a backer of third parties, at least ones that are progressive, I'm assuming?
Yeah, but just like Ralph Nader was saying the other day, is that people have to as I heard on KBOO, Ralph Nader talking, that was very informative. These third parties or us, have to start working at the local level and build up to the national level. You don't just start a national campaign out of the blue. You have to
I think we should always stay open for those moments when everything's changing too, though some things can change really rapidly. It's sort of like when people have I don't think I could have predicted the Occupy movement and that we would openly talk about the 1% the way they are, and that sort of came as a shock to us that movement rose up. Anyway, I want to thank you very much for calling in. We've got a lot of other callers on the line. Oh, we don't have any other callers on the line. Well, let me say, you're listening to KBOO. This is Positively Revolting Talk Radio. I'm Linda Olson-Osterlin, your host. And the phone number to call in and talk about elections, the election that's, not just the national elections, the local elections, measures you care about, issues you care about, your whole perspective on voting or not voting, all of those are up for you to talk about right now. We want to hear from you. We really want this to be your points of view. We want to get as many of you on as possible. It's 503-231-8187. Since we don't have anybody ringing that phone right this moment, I'll go ahead and say the struggle that has been in there for me this year has been is I generally have felt that choosing a presidential candidate is not democratic. We all know how not democratic it is. Do we need more than the emails from, you know, Hillary's emails, or do we, you know, the advertising? So we know that money plays a much larger role. Sometimes money plays a bigger role than the public, certainly. And so I have chosen to put in as my candidate for president in the last couple, well, the last time I voted was my good friend Gloria Harris, who ran for city council a few years ago here in Portland. And I did that because I think she'd be better than any of the other candidates, even without her national experience. And so I think there's been a legitimate reason to not vote, and I think there may be still now. If you look at it, the trajectory of policy and behavior of our oligarchy and our, you know, our government, you would say that there's been nothing that's impeded its progress as it's gone forward in the last many years to becoming more totalitarian, more a world bully than almost ever before, certainly with the capacity to kill people all over the planet and with the impunity to do it. So I have thought, why would I want to vote for my next emperor? They don't tell the truth, and I'm quite sure neither of these tell the truth. I did hear this morning that, you know, polls show that most of us are disgusted by the current presidential candidate choice. I'm not disgusted because we have other choices like Jill Stein that I do think are not quite as bad as the others, but I'm not endorsing any particular candidate. I have not yet voted, so we shall see, because I take my ballot in next Tuesday. I like to take it in. So if you're out there, the number is 503-231-8187. We would really love to hear from you. Barth, we have on the line.
Good morning. I was surprised that you didn't have your phones backed up, so I jumped in.
Well, now they are. I'm glad you did.
Good. Couple of things. A well-educated populace is important for democracy, and this is one of the reasons that education the social support network is being destroyed from the top down. As you said, you know, one drone strike, one cruise missile would pay a huge portion of costs and expenses for educational enterprise somewhere in the country or everywhere in the country. If we weren't doing military adventurism everywhere, and it's just so amazing how many places we've got our fingers and our troops in, we would have health care at home, we would have education for all, and probably at low or no cost. These things are doable, but you can't do both. Proportional
history
voting
tends to show that you know, the nations that are constantly building up their military and extending their reach eventually collapse from the inside.
Well, certainly, or they become fascist states.
And those collapsed in the end, or most of them had. To rise again, perhaps.
Well, I think we're heading that way. But proportional voting, apparently there's a ballot measure down in Benton County that's going to allow people to choose, you know, your top choice for any elected office, and then your secondary and third and et cetera choices, which would allow people to vote their conscience. You know, if you think Jill Stein is a good candidate, or if you think Ralph Nader is a good candidate, or whoever you think is a good candidate, you could write in as, you know, this is who I want for president. And then if your second choice is your fallback position, or your third choice is your fallback position, then the way that this works is, if your first choice is not elected, the counting machines roll over to your second choice. And if your second choice is not elected, they roll over to your third choice. So you can vote your conscience, but you can still
have an
impact, a meaningful voice. And people have heard about this. I think it'd be interesting to see if they get that down below and how well it takes off. And there are things that can be done to make a difference. Getting money out of the corporations for public use and putting the costs back in the corporations instead of back on the public is a good start.
And, yes, I
and
think
I'm going to let you go and grab some more calls.
Well, Barr, thank you for those points. I think they're important, and I appreciate you calling. We have another person on the line. Richard, thanks for calling in.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks to KBOO. Thank you, Linda. I have so many things to say that I don't know if I'm
You have to kind of pick what your top thing you want to say.
We Oregonians have been done out of the education that the law requires us to have. In the Oregon Revised Statutes at 336.057 and 067, we are supposed to get 5 years of constitutional studies before we get out of high school.
Wow.
Beginning in the eighth grade and continuing through university. If we go to university, we get a year each year we go. And in 336.067, it says that special emphasis shall be given to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of Oregon. We don't get that. Nobody's gotten that. That's been on the books since the first one since 1923 and the second one since 1929. And nobody in my history of interviewing has ever gotten that.
Yeah, not at all. I mean, we did get what was called social studies in my high school.
That's not it.
And that was pretty much it. Or U.S. history was also, you know, a topic, a class that you could take in my high school.
Yeah. Well, the first section, 057, says that you'll get 5 years of constitutional studies and U.S. history. That means two separate classes, not combined with. And it's true. These classes will continue through. That means without interruption through the 12th grade. That's our current law.
Well, Richard, thank you so much for bringing up that point. I didn't know it and I hadn't heard it, and I think you just educated a whole lot of people. Thank you very much. And now we have Dwayne on the line.
Hello. I'm just not buying this media fear campaign of the presidential election. I think politics in general in this country. I think we spend too much time being manipulated by the media into being pushed in directions where we really don't even want to go. I mean, like, I've been saying for a while now that if the people that you have on your station are to be believed, I think Hillary Clinton was picked a long time ago, and I think this whole election is just kabuki theater. I look at Donald Trump, and I think, you know, with what I've heard from people that were at conventions, nomination conventions in both Oregon and Washington, Bernie Sanders was not allowed to have a chance at that nomination, and that I think... it was manipulated in some ways for Trump to be in there, because it took a candidate that bad to make Hillary Clinton look legitimate. Now,
and it's still not. I mean, the latest polls are saying they're neck and neck.
Yeah, well, I mean, polls, I mean, like...
And what are they? Yeah, I know. They're not unbiased. I'm certain of that. I've been polled.
It's how you ask the question. It's who you ask the question. Are the Hispanics being polled? I mean, like, the media is setting it up to make it look like, oh, this is a really close election. Well, they did that with Obama twice, and it wasn't really that close, but they did not count enough votes to make it look close. You know, if Greg Palast is to be believed, then the main reason we're voting is to let them know that we're still here. It's not to elect anybody.
Yeah, so can I say, I mean, one of the things that I have said when people say, who do you think is going to win? I say, I think whoever the oligarchy wants to win. And people think I'm just saying that, but I actually do believe that it would, you know, we let's go back to Gore and Bush. I mean, what was that happened there? The Supreme Court was given powers that they do not have within the Constitution and allowed to select the president without a vote recount. I mean, we can see that there are definite examples in our recent history of where the oligarchy has made a choice to decide who the president's going to be, regardless of what the public has decided. So I thank you a lot for calling in and making that point.
Okay, well, yeah, thank you.
All right. And I think we're out of time. I'm sorry. Yeah, if anybody else is on the line, I want to thank all of you. It's been really great. I really appreciate having so many of you call in with so many diverse points of view. Thank you for being KBOO listeners. And now we'll go on to the rest of the morning. We're going to have up next Kristen Yount and Waterworld.
November 11th is Veterans Day, a day to honor those men and women who served in the United States Armed Forces. But our veterans are also serving time in our jails and prisons, and Oregon has among the highest rate of incarcerated veterans in the nation. Join Prison Pipeline on November 7th as we discuss why so many of our men and women in uniform end up in the criminal justice system. That's Prison Pipeline, November 7th at 6:30 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Liberian Gospel Music Awards on Saturday, November 5th at 2 p.m. at PCC Cascade Auditorium in Portland. The Liberian Gospel Music Awards ceremony is dedicated to fostering an appreciation for the historical development of Liberia gospel music artists. Again, that's the Liberian Gospel Music Awards, Saturday, November 5th at 2 p.m. at PCC Cascade Auditorium, 705 North Killingsworth in Portland. More information about the performers and schedules can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.